Well, good morning. Good morning on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. God has blessed us with some refreshing fresh air. It feels pretty good after some hot, humid days. So welcome to this special worship service today. Special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today and also those joining us via live stream this morning. I would ask that you would receive this call to worship based on Revelation 21:1-4. Let us rejoice together this morning in the vision of John. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth and the sea had disappeared. Then I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven, beautiful as a bride adorned for her husband. And a great voice thundered from heaven, see, God is making his home with mortals. God will live with them. They will be his people. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All this will be gone forever. How we look forward to that time. So would you join the worship team this morning in singing praises to our awesome and powerful God?
Amen. Isn't that awesome? I invite you to stand as we worship our awesome God.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King, whose glory endures forever. He is good, he is above all things, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise.
With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever.
Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us.
invite the ushers forward on this song to take this morning's offering, which is going toward LMC Ministries, our conference, and also the children may come forward with their coins for My Coins Count.
Let me start by sharing just a reflection from Sunday school today. The only person who is preventing me from speaking the truth in love to those around who need to hear it is the man in the mirror, when I choose not to do that. So let me encourage you to do that today, tomorrow, and every day. Speak the truth in love to those who need to hear it. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. And we do ask for you to come and be with us today. We know you are here. Embolden us to speak the truth. Encourage us to do the things that maybe we don't want to do but need to do to further the gospel. Father, give us a love for those who we can't love on our own. I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Embolden us and encourage us. Father, you've given us so much, especially your Son, Jesus. And we thank you and praise you for that. We thank you for the material blessings you've given us. And there's so many ways we can give, whether to the local food bank, just send a meal to our neighbors. And today we offer a portion back to you to help LMC and to encourage other congregations such as ours to continue to speak the truth in love. We thank you, Lord, and we just offer this all up to you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest strength. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest strain, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ
Cornerstone, weak made strong in the same.
just in these next two songs, just one of the things that stood out to me is the word breath. In the second one here, I'll praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. Our breath really comes from God, just life and the breath in our lungs. And the next song we're going to sing here is Great Are You, Lord. And it's just our praise, the breath in our lungs is our praise. And it reminds me of a couple of Matt Redman's songs where he says just the concept of we breathe in God's grace and we breathe out his praise.
Restore every
Father, we just thank you for the breath that you put in our lungs, and we pour out our praise to you. We pour out our love to you, Jesus. We just thank you for all you are and all you've done for us. God, we just lift Larry to you now as he brings us your word. May he speak with boldness what you have laid on his heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Jeff and the worship team, for leading us into the presence of God this morning. At this time, I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's message. So good morning. Wow. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's bad. That's better. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Good to see you. Good to see you, buddy. Ow. Okay, very good. Well, Paige, you showed up, huh? Good morning. Oh, back here. Wow. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think I got everybody, right?
Nope. You forgot me.
Okay. Well, this morning, I would like to ask you a question. I think it's something you know something about. So I would like to ask you, what do you know about Jesus? Very true. So if you have an answer, raise your hand like you do in school.
He knows every word you're gonna say before you say it.
Wow.
And he even knows what you're thinking.
Wow.
And no one else even can.
Exactly.
He can see where you go, everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
He will always love you no matter what.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. So, where was Jesus born?
In Bethlehem
in a stable. Okay. And what did he do when he was on this earth? Taught about God. What'd you say?
Save people.
Yes. Okay. So he did miracles, made blind people see, lame people walk, taught people about God. So where is Jesus today? Up there. Where is there? Up in heaven. Right. He's up in heaven, exactly. So how did he get there?
He sacrificed himself.
He did, exactly. Exactly. Sacrificed himself. And this is what the Bible tells us in Acts. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." So imagine if I had a balloon here that was filled with helium. And if I would let it go, what would happen?
It would go up.
It would go up. So if we'd be outside, we could watch that balloon go up until it would disappear, and we wouldn't be able to see it anymore.
No, until it pops.
Oh, until it pops, okay. Well, that's the way Jesus went back to heaven. He ascended and went back up to heaven. And one day, guess what?
He'll come back.
Exactly. One day he's going to come back. Maybe. So one day Jesus is going to come back. So he's going to come back in the same way that he went, is what the Bible tells us. So one day he's going to appear in the clouds. Yeah. So until that time comes, we have a responsibility to tell other people about Jesus, right? Tell them the good news. That Jesus loves them. So don't ever forget that. One day he's coming back, and we have a responsibility to tell others about Jesus till he comes back. Okay? So I want to have a prayer for you guys. You can grab a snack and then head back to your seats. So let me pray. Father God, we just thank you for these children. I ask for your special blessing upon them today. And as they live their lives, I pray that they would commit their hearts to you, that you would fill them with your peace, your love, and your Holy Spirit, and empower them to tell the good news to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, greetings in the strong and powerful name of Jesus, the one who is coming again soon. And when he returns, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So again, welcome to each one of you. It's good to see you here today. So before we get into the message, a few things. First of all, a reminder to sign up for the Discovery Series. There was information in your mailboxes a number of months ago. Discovery Series, an opportunity to discover your spiritual gifts, discover who you are, how God has created you uniquely, and how you can serve him, and it's open to anyone. So I encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity. I think there's also part of that Discovery Series is doing a DISC profile where you will learn a lot about yourself. So I encourage you to sign up. I think the deadline is very, very soon, maybe this week. And also, I would like to have a word of prayer for Ruth Bowman, who's going to be going to Hershey tomorrow for treatment for cancer, and also a pause and have a word of prayer for Quentin Ristler, Floyd Ristler's son. We heard about him who's having, I think he's currently in the OR right now as we speak, having surgery this morning. So I just want to ask for God's guidance as that takes place. So would you join me in prayer this morning? Thank you, Almighty God, that you're with us every step of the way, no matter what we go through in life. So this morning, we just lift up Ruth Bowman to your throne of grace, and as she is preparing to go to Hershey tomorrow to receive treatment for her cancer, I pray, Father God, that you would go before her. Give the doctors and nurses wisdom, and I pray you would fill Ruth and Claire with your peace, a peace that passes all understanding, that they would place their complete faith and trust in you as they walk through this time of uncertainty in their lives. And also, right now, we lift up Quentin to your throne of grace as he's in surgery, right as we speak. I pray, Father God, that you would guide the doctor's, the surgeon's hands as they perform this very critical and delicate surgery. I pray that you would give Quentin's family peace. Also pray for Floyd here this morning, that you would surround him with your peace and your presence, that he would be able to feel and sense your presence in a very real and powerful way. And we thank you that we can trust you because you are faithful. And we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning we're going to be beginning a sermon series on the seven churches of Revelation. And I don't claim to be an expert on the book of Revelation. In fact, if truth be told, sometimes I've found it to be confusing sometimes. But one thing I do believe is that it holds a message or messages for us right here today in 2023. So let's dive right in. With tiny wrinkles and cries, he entered the world. wrapped in strips of cloth, he took his first nap on a bed of hay. Subject to time and his parents, he grew to manhood in Roman-occupied Bethlehem. His gentle hands became strong and calloused in Joseph's woodshop. As a man, he walked through the countryside, touching individuals' lives, preaching to the crowds that followed him. He trained 12 men to carry on his work. At every step, he was hounded by those seeking to get rid of his influence on the world. Finally, falsely accused and tried, he was condemned to a disgraceful execution by Roman soldiers. As he was spit upon, cursed, and pierced by the nails, he died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, gave his life completely so that everyone who calls on his name can have that precious gift of eternal life. At God's appointed time, the risen and ascended Lord Jesus will burst onto the world scene. And everyone will know that Jesus is Lord of the universe. Those who believe in him will rejoice, greeting their Savior with hearts overflowing with praise. But those who don't know him will be filled with fear. Allied with Satan, the enemies of Christ will gather legions to fight against Christ. But who can withstand God's wrath? No one. Christ will win and reign victorious forever and ever. Jesus Christ, the humble, suffering servant, will return as an all-powerful, conquering king. Revelation is a book of hope. John, the beloved apostle and eyewitness of Jesus, proclaimed that the victorious Lord would return to vindicate the righteous and to judge the wicked. But Revelation is also a book of warning. Although Jesus gave this revelation of himself some 2,000 years ago, it still stands as a comfort and also a challenge to God's people today. We can take heart as we understand John's vision of hope. Jesus will return one day to rescue his people and settle accounts with all who defy him. So the setting of this book of Revelation is the island of Patmos. John received this revelation while he was exiled, probably by the Roman authorities, sometime between 90 and 95 AD. He was exiled there for refusing to stop preaching the gospel. So John is the last of Jesus' 12 disciples. All the others have been executed for their faith in Jesus. So John begins this book by explaining how he received this revelation from God. So I'd like to read Revelation 1, 1 to 20, just to get a setting. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches of the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and a golden sash across his chest. His eye and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun and shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you've seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you see in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So now, according to verse 3, what we just read, we have all just been blessed. Blessed by not just reading these words, but also applying them to our lives. Father God, we just thank you for your word. And I pray that as we continue looking into your word today, that you would continue to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So why should we pay attention to this revelation that we just read, and we'll read more in a minute? John says, because the time is near. I believe John is urging anyone who reads this revelation to be ready at all times for the return of Jesus, the last judgment, and the establishment of God's kingdom. The seven lampstands refer to the seven churches in Asia, and Jesus is the one standing among the lampstands. Jesus gives John a message for the seven churches, so let's look at what Jesus says to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, verses 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and I'm not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So Ephesus was a seaport town, and for all practical purposes, the capital of Asia Minor, a very influential and wealthy city. Jesus commended the church at Ephesus for five things: working hard, perseverance, resisting sin, examining the claims of false prophets, enduring hardships. In general, the church had continued in its faithful service to God and had not grown weary in doing so. But then in verse 4, Jesus says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. So it appears that they have lost something. They've lost their love for Jesus. Now, did you know that there's certain, in a recent study that I read about, there's certain parts of our brains light up when we're in love. So when you're in love, your eyes light up, your face lights up, and apparently so do four other parts of your brain. Because when test subjects were shown photos of their loved one, there were certain areas of their brain that just lit up. That means there is a higher flow of blood going to that particular part of your brain. And the study also revealed that when they saw their loved one's photos, the parts of their brains which are active when someone is upset or depressed became less active. So perhaps what Jesus is telling the church at Ephesus and us here this morning is there's certain parts of your brain that don't light up like they used to when it comes to loving Jesus. How did that happen? How did they, and perhaps some of us here today, lose our first love for Jesus? So was it kind of like when you lose your car keys or you lose the remote to your TV? Did we just misplace our love for Jesus? We've lost it because we misplaced it. And we just need to locate where it is, where we placed it. Well, possibly, but probably not exactly. I suggest to you this morning that we didn't misplace our first love for Jesus. What actually happened is that our first love of Jesus has been replaced by a love of or for something or someone. Something or someone else has taken up residence on the throne of our hearts. Now, a very familiar teaching of Jesus was when he was questioned about what the greatest commandment was. And Jesus' very familiar response to all of us here today was Matthew 22:37-39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. But here's the thing. You can't fulfill or follow any of Jesus Christ's teachings on your own. Does anybody here ever play checkers? If you play checkers, raise your hand. Well, fair number of you have played checkers. Well, if you know that one of the strategies involved in playing checkers is to get kinged, right? If you can get one of your pieces to the back line on the board of your opponent, then you get kinged, which gives you the ability to move around the board with a whole lot more freedom, which increases your chances of winning. So the same is true in a spiritual sense. When we get kinged by Jesus, it frees us to live in a whole new plane spiritually. When we completely surrender to the King and allow ourselves to be kinged, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which enables and empowers us to be overcomers. Revelation 2:7b, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So it seems to me like there's three things we need to understand about being kinged. First of all, we need to understand that Jesus is King. Jesus doesn't just want to save us from hell. He wants us to allow him to be our Lord. In other words, he wants to be in the throne of our hearts. He will not settle for second place in our lives. Jesus is King. He is not just a way maker, but King. He's not just a problem solver, but King. He's not just a provider, but King. The Bible says he is King of kings and Lord of lords. In Revelation 19:16, on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus wants to rule and reign in your life and in my life. He doesn't simply want to rescue us from bad habits and regrettable mistakes. He, Jesus, wants to totally and completely reshape, reconstruct, and transform the way we understand ourselves as a citizen of his kingdom here on this earth, which leads to number two, acknowledge Jesus as your King. When someone has been kinged by Jesus, they not only understand Jesus is King, but they also make him their King. They do this by stepping aside and making a concrete decision to invite Jesus to take over the wheel of their life. When you acknowledge Jesus as your King, you decide from this point forward, God's word is going to have the final say over what I do with my life in every minute detail of it. This means that you fire yourself and you hire him to be king. In checkers, when you've been kinged, it means that another checker has been put on top of yours, which, like I said, gives you the ability to move around the board with greater freedom. When we get kinged by Jesus, we willingly submit or come under his authority over our lives. Someone has said, when you get under what God has placed over you, you can get over what God has placed under you. In other words, when we submit to God's rule, we can get over the stuff in this life. We can get over the stuff in this life a little bit easier. And then number three, live like you've been kinged. In checkers, your whole experience of the game changes after you've been kinged. In the same way, being kinged by Jesus means living on a whole new plane, in tune with and listening to the Holy Spirit. So the message to the church of Ephesus is, you have forsaken your first love. So here's the question for all of us here this morning. What's the temperature of your love for Jesus? What's the temperature of your love for Jesus right now, today? Have you allowed something or someone to replace Jesus as the king of your heart and life? Yeah, you still want to follow Jesus, but maybe it's half-heartedly. The warning to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 is very clear this morning. The warning to everyone here today who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ is very clear as well. What's the temperature of your love for Jesus? Have I, to some degree, forsaken our first love? You know, as new believers, we start out our walk with Jesus and we're on fire as we understand the depth of the forgiveness that we've received. But maybe, possibly, as time passes, we lose sight of that truth, and maybe our love for Jesus cools. So right now, I'm going to give you a few minutes to ponder this question. What's the temperature of my love for Jesus right now? So let's wait in silence and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us here this morning. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about the cooling temperature of your love for him, I'm going to invite you to come and kneel here at the front of the church. And I'll have a prayer asking God to ignite a new and a fresh love for him within us, inviting Jesus to come and be our King. So would you come? If the Spirit is speaking to you, would you come and kneel here at the front of the church this morning. Anyone else would like to come kneel here this morning, asking God for a new, fiery love for Him? The invitation open just a few more seconds. Anyone else to come? I also recognize this morning there may be some persons here who are physically unable to come forward and kneel. So if you just like to raise your hand high at your seat, indicating that you would like for a new fire, love for God. Praise God, I see you. Praise God, I see another hand. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we just thank you today that you came to this earth desiring to be king in our lives here today. So I pray for these persons who are kneeling here this morning as a sign of submission to you. And I pray for those who raised their hands as well. I pray that you would meet them exactly where they are today. And right now, I want to invite you to come. Be the king of their heart and lives. And I pray that you would ignite within them the ability to notice the needs, the hurts, the pain of those around them. And also pray for a fresh anointing to go and share the good news with everyone they meet with today and the coming days and weeks and months ahead. So, Almighty God, we do indeed thank you and praise you for who you are. And I ask today for a special blessing, a special anointing upon these persons who come forward, those who raise their hands, a special infilling of your Holy Spirit to empower them, ignite within them a fresh, red-hot love for you, so they can be faithful witnesses for you. I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may return to your seats. So thank you, Jeff. And so would you lead us in a closing, would the worship team come forward and lead us in a closing song?
Thank you.
Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit led you to choose those songs? Because you and I had no conversation. So I'm just amazed by how the Spirit works. But thank you for being obedient and leading us in those worship songs. So this morning is the last day of the month, so the children come forward and guess how many coins or dollars have been collected from my coins count after the service. Try to slip a paper and put your guess into the box. So would you stand to receive this parting blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week.